Welcome to Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. I'm your host today, Cynthia Fernandez. And Simple Life Radio here on KRXA 540 AM is also progressive talk. It's also local perspective. You might be hearing us via live streaming. We have live streaming from the website at radiomonterey.com. You can also access it through TuneIn by selecting Radio Monterey, and that comes in through your smartphone, your tablet, or your computer. Locals from the Central Coast of California talk about their life experience and perspectives with me, and the hour is filled with interviews and book reviews, so I hope you enjoy the show today. For those regular listeners to KRXA, it probably seems like the programs here have been changing lately. More pre-recorded programs of religious nature instead of progressive talk that you're used to. And if that's the way it seems, then you're right. It looks like we're going to be slowly transitioning into the sale of the radio frequency that Hal Ginsberg, our station owner, has been speaking about for almost a year now. So if you would like to continue listening to this show, you can let us know your email address. And please share your comments, too, if you'd like to do that. And the email that I'd really like to receive your comments and information from would be simplelife@pilgrimsway.com. And that way we can keep you informed throughout whatever upcoming transitions are going to be happening. Our guest today, I actually met because of KRXA. I heard her being interviewed about 4 years ago or so. And I believe that was on the Sheila Gale Show. She's someone who has dedicated her life to wellness for herself and others. And she has a naturopathic practice in Monterey called Wellspring Natural Health. Welcome, Dr. Heather Swallow.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you in my office. I've been seeing you since then. In fact, that's when I gave you a call, Heather. I was so impressed with the interview that day that I heard on the radio, and I just thought, wow, this is a really sharp lady. I want a lady doctor. So how long have you been in the healthcare field?
I started my practice in 2007.
And have you been a naturopathic doctor the whole time?
Yes.
And so what drew you to this kind of work?
Well, ironically enough, my own health. I kind of feel like I was born with bad health.
Oh.
And I was really sick when I was, I think it was about six months old, and I had failure to thrive. And my parents brought me to a bunch of specialists, and I ended up being diagnosed with a food allergy to dairy, which was kind of unheard of at the time. And fast forward about 17 years, I transmitted, or not transmitted, but I got mono, and I was really athletic and in good health, and I had, you know, some minor health issues, but it was a real big turning point in my life and in my health, and I never really felt the same since. And so I went to see it when I was in Chicago, a bunch of doctors, all MDs. And they told me that I was fine.
Oh.
And I was a psych major, and I was in college, and I said, this is not psychosomatic. You know, I'm not fine. And how is it that I went from playing three sports a year to not being able to walk up a flight of stairs?
Oh, my gosh.
And so right before I moved, I graduated from college, and I had seen about three or four specialists. I had been working with an allergist for 3 years. I had been getting three shots a week for 3 years, and yet I was still having these systemic full-body hive reactions. And I kept saying to my allergist at the time, don't you think I should be tested for food allergies? And he was, you know, just his automatic response was, oh, no, you're fine. You don't have food allergies. And so my mom, right before I moved to San Francisco, said, I think you should go see this doctor. And she was an MD, and she had gone completely holistic in her practice. And it was the first doctor who actually listened to me. And she spent an hour with me, and she got my full medical history from birth. And she looked at me after I was done talking and telling my story, which I thought was so important and really unbelievable that she just listened. And she looked at me and she said, "Heather, I think you have food allergies." And I said, "Of course I do. You know, wow. I've had food allergies since I was born."
Yeah.
And so she ran the test, which at the time there was really only one lab in the United States that was doing this food allergy test. And I was allergic to everything on the test except for pears. And I thought that that was really funny. And so I moved to San Francisco and I was kind of left out on my own because I didn't have a doctor to follow care with. And I thought, this is really amazing. And so I bought the two kind of Bibles at the time, which was Healthy Healing and Prescription for Natural Health.
And Linda Page.
Yeah, and yeah. I just started just paging through, and it was all about these herbs and vitamins, and, you know, I just thought, why haven't I heard of this before?
Yeah.
This is crazy. And, you know, I felt there was just this thought in my head that said, this is the wave of the future, is actually going back to the beginning, which is really the eclectics. And they produce these huge novels of plants and their medicinal value. And that is where our information about medicinal herbs, which is, you know, funny because that's where most of our drugs come from.
That's right.
Came, you know, that information has really come from the eclectics. And so at the time, you know, just delving into my own health and diet and reading these two, kind of the two only books that were available, I met a friend and she was looking into Bastyr University, which is where I ended up going to medical school. And she told me about the program and the light bulb went off. And I said, this is it. This is the wave of the future. This is where medicine needs to go back to. It needs to go back to the beginning, to the basics, to really the foundation of mind, body, spirit medicine. And that's why I loved Bastyr, was because it encompassed everything. You know, it wasn't just about, you know, doing triage and learning how to suture, which
pathological medicine. Yeah,
it was about counseling and nutrition and botanical medicine, which, you know, is medicinal herbs, which is pretty much all the supplements that you buy, you know, if you're going to use something that's non-vitamin, you know, formulas that are made. So it just, you know, and then I knew at that moment that that was my future. Mm-hmm. And that was where my own healing was going to come from.
And your passion.
Yeah.
I mean, there is that old phrase, physician, heal thyself.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you have that as a motivation and a curiosity and also a personal experience, then you can really have compassion for people who come to see you who need help.
Well, and I think that that's where it started, is that, you know, I've always felt that if I was walking in integrity with my own health and my own self-care, that was what was going to make me a better physician. You know, that you have to be that physician that heals thyself, because you can't speak something to someone and then not do it for your own self. You know, that's totally out of integrity. So one of the things that I always strive to do is, and believe me, I'm not perfect, and I tell my patients that straight off, you know. I always say, like, hey, if you can be, you know, on par, you know, perfect 90% of the time, that's great.
That is great.
You know,
yeah.
And because, I mean, there has to be that just flexibility.
Wiggle room. Yeah.
Wiggle room. And I always say, you know, everything in moderation, including moderation.
Right.
You know, you've got to even have that place where you have that sense of forgiveness.
Well, it reminds me too, in terms of perfection, about the massive airplanes that fly us around the world. And, you know, they have this thing called autopilot. And when the plane is on autopilot, it's only on course 10% of the time. And the rest of the time is correction. Did you know? I mean, it's just constantly correcting. So in terms of balance, I mean, if your balance is in play, that means that you're not in balance. You're constantly adjusting and correcting.
Right. And if you can whittle that down to what the body is always attempting to do at any given moment is try to create homeostasis, no matter what the external environment is doing, right? So there's always that self-correction that's happening. No matter what you're doing externally, the body's still trying to self-correct and reach homeostasis, which is really just hopefully this sense of grace that we're looking for.
Yeah, and sense of well-being. And when you were speaking about the college that you went to, a light bulb went off for me, because one of the things that I've always particularly enjoyed about you in your perspective for health is that it is addressing the whole person. It's not just addressing my body. But it, I mean, when you speak with me about my health, it encompasses all of me. You're interested and you value my life, my lifestyle, everything. And it makes me feel safe to have that kind of approach about my health. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I wanted to kind of pick your brain and get your perspective. I know health is an issue today. It's talked about a lot. Thankfully, we're getting a lot more information now than we used to. But I wondered if you could share with our listeners what you think our biggest health issue is today. Education, do you think maybe toxic environment, including all the radiation that's being talked about? Or is it perception of our world? What do you think?
You know, it's hard to answer that question because I think all of the above. Can we have a D, all of the above answer?
Yes, we may have a D.
I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing more and more is toxicity and the environment, and really talking to people about how they can take steps in their own lives to not be exposed or to decrease their exposure to those toxins. It's almost impossible, though, because it's in the air that we breathe, you know? And so there's so many things that you can do, but it's also a choice that you make. So, yes, toxic exposure, absolutely. If I can give my own, you know, personal of just what I've been seeing so much in my own practice, I would say that a lot of it is perception. You know, if I'm coming to the realization in my own health and in my own path of well-being and in my own practice and kind of what's been drawing into my practice, the patient population that I'm working with, one of the things that I've realized is how powerful the mind can be in either making or breaking your healing process. And really trying to have that awareness around the things that you are saying to yourself about your own sense of well-being, about your own healing potential, about your own heart space, and just offering a glimmer of how powerful those negative messages can be in stopping people from achieving their health goals, their life goals, not just even about, you know, the way that you're moving through the world, healthy or not healthy, you know, it's just how you move through life with your career and your family and your relationships, because I see it bleed into all aspects of life, you know, is this sense of how do you perceive yourself? And then noticing those messages that we say to each other, you know, that we say to ourselves on a daily basis, and really trying to shape-shift them into something that's more usable and workable and that is more positive so that people can have breakthroughs where they never thought that they had that potential before.
Yeah, that is really powerful. And you're reminding me of some of the things that I heard our most recent author speak about, Dr. Goswami, who's a quantum physicist. And he was talking about his latest book is titled Quantum Creativity. And he was talking about how powerful thoughts and words are and how creativity really comes from waves of possibility. And he describes it in terms of consciousness. And it's so great to hear a scientist kind of bridge the academic realms with the realms beyond that, you know?
Well, I always say to patients, you know, I can give you this, this, and this to get better. But if you don't believe that you're going to get better, you know, I mean, I have the science behind it, right? I can tell them there's clinical trials that show this, this, and this. But if you, if your thought pattern is stopping you, your consciousness or your subconsciousness or unconsciousness is stopping you from believing that you're going to get better, these pills are not going to do anything.
Right.
And they've shown that in studies where they've placebo, you know, the placebo effect.
That's true.
I mean, over and over and
very
over again.
Very powerful.
Is that people who get, you know, the placebo heal just as often as ones that don't. And how do we explain that?
Very true. Well, you're listening to KRXA 540 AM. And archives of today's show will be available to listen to online or to download. Going to the Pilgrim's Way website might be the easiest way. Just click on the Simple Life Radio tab, and you can access all of the prior shows. Or you could go to simpleliferadio.podbean.com, and there you'll find probably 40 prior episodes. Our guest today, Dr. Heather Swallow, is owner of Wellspring Natural Health, located in Monterey on the corner of Cass Street and El Dorado. And if you'd like to give her a call for more information, you can call her at 831-648-1870 or take a look at her website, wellspringnaturalhealth.com. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Dr. Swallow about her personal experience with Lyme's disease. Stay with us. We're back in studio with Dr. Heather Swallow. You're listening to Simple Life Radio on KRXA 540 AM and Radio Monterey. So one of the reasons, Heather, that I invited you on the show today was because I wanted to have you share your experiences and perspectives about Lyme's disease. And I'm wondering if you're willing to do that.
Absolutely.
And I guess to start with, maybe you can help us understand what Lyme's disease is and how you know you have it.
Well, that's kind of like opening Pandora's box. That could take days to explain. But there is a lab that I use to test for Lyme with patients. That's based out of Palo Alto. It's very hard to detect. We get false positives as well as false negatives, as well as testing, you know, with hospitals and other labs. They just don't have good, what we call assays to detect it. So for me, I've looked at really the symptom picture.
Okay.
And then correlated that with the testing. And so even if somebody is testing negative, but they still have all the symptoms, then I'll still go ahead with treatment.
Is Lyme's disease considered a physical or a neurological?
Both.
Both.
Yeah, the Lyme, it attacks the nervous system in what we call the chronic stage of Lyme, which is what I was diagnosed with. And so I thought that I had MS when I originally went to the specialist that I saw that gave me the diagnosis because I was having all these neurological symptoms. And so we know that that's found more in the chronic cases. acute cases are fully treatable. So if you got bit by a tick and you found the tick and you had, you know, the bullseye rash, which is not always common, even in with a Lyme tick, then and you got treated with doxycycline, the antibiotic that's most commonly used, within 2 weeks of being bit, you would be fully cured. But what they're finding is that there, and this is, you know, there's a lot of controversy around this, but that there is the chronic form of Lyme disease, which is people who were bit in the past, and then, you know, what happens is that they have kind of the perfect storm, and the immune system can't handle the load. And this also has to do with what we were talking about before with environmental toxicity, parasites, heavy metals, candida. Most people who have chronic Lyme have kind of not just Lyme disease. They have co-infections, they have heavy metal, they have parasites, they have lungworm, they have, you know, blah, 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 blah,
so
blah.
So their system's probably been
overloaded,
really burdened for a long time, and then this was just the last straw.
Pretty much, yeah. So
Lyme's, if someone, when you say it demonstrates neurologically, someone is having a hard time with their memory or a hard time finding words or just really feeling like they have a lot of headaches, is that kind of what shows up?
Well, one of the first things that happened with me is I had been seeing a patient, and she was someone that I had been working with for a couple of years, and I couldn't remember an entire conversation that we had. And that really scared me.
Yeah.
And then I started having bilateral, like in both hands and arms, a tremor, and also a loss of grip strength. So I couldn't bring like a heavy coffee mug, you know, like a coffee mug that was filled with fluid to my mouth. I had to use my other hand to bring it up to my mouth and be able to drink out of it. And so there's other neurological symptoms, but I've had issues, you know, just personally around speech and cognition and forgetting words that, you know, I've known for a long time. I call them my big words, you know, ones that are over three syllables or more. I get so excited when I get to use them again and in the correct context.
Yeah.
So things like that, that, you know, make you just kind of feel that you're not
your normal self.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just not your normal self. You can probably feel and experience a difference, right, that you can't explain.
Yeah, I would say that I can tease apart the adrenal fatigue that comes with, you know, that has lack of clarity and brain fog and maybe a lack of focus from Lyme fatigue and neurological symptoms. It looks and feels different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did some research before our show today, and I was kind of amazed. I mean, one of the things I found was that Lyme's disease was all but unknown until 1977. Mm-hmm. Like, it was probably around or whatever, but they didn't really think of it as Lyme's disease. And the condition was initially thought to be like juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And it was actually discovered or studied in a place called Lyme, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. In 1982. I thought that was really interesting. You know, this stuff you never know.
Well, and they originally thought that it was only on the East Coast.
Yes.
And now they've been finding, so Lyme, the tick carries that, is a Lyme tick, is called Borrelia, and
that's the bacteria that
exactly.
It carries.
And so you have ticks that don't have the Borrelia,
right?
And then you have Lyme ticks, and now they've discovered other vectors such as mosquitoes and rodents that are carrying the Lyme, and other co-infections as well, such as Babesia and Bartonella. But what they've been finding now is different strains all over the United States of the Borrelia.
Oh my gosh.
And so the information is kind of exploding around Lyme disease because it's really become so prevalent.
Well, I don't know about our listeners, but personally, speaking for myself, I know about 6 people with Lyme's disease. And you know, that's a lot in a sphere of influence.
Yep.
I'm just staggered by it. One of the other things that I read, and I don't know if you know anything about this, but I think it speaks to the severity and the importance of this particular illness. In the Northeast, in the past 13 months, this comes from the Boston Globe Health and Wellness, December of 2013, there have been 3 people who have had fatal situations, and after death, they've been discovered to have had undetected heart inflammation caused by Lyme's disease. And, you know, these were people in their 30s, 20s. It was really uncommon. Like, one person actually died while driving. And when they, you know, got him out of the car and look, they couldn't figure out what happened. So there's something around inflammation connected with Lyme's disease.
Yeah, you know, most patients that I treat and work with, as well as myself, have chronic pain and inflammation, and a lot of it migrates, and some of it's just constant. And, you know, people don't realize that chronic Lyme is really deadly, and people are dying from it. A great documentary is Under My Skin, where you can find out more information about Lyme and its progression. And people end up in wheelchairs, and people do die from chronic Lyme. We know that to be true.
Wow. The other thing that really got my attention, at least for me, I hadn't really thought about this, but they were talking about, okay, so if you think about ticks have or carry, some of the ticks carry Lyme's disease. Dogs and cats also have been tested and found to carry that bacteria.
Yeah.
I saw there was a study, they checked jackrabbits, which of course they're in the rodent family.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about, okay, what's going on in the great outdoors? I mean, I don't think people are getting bitten by jackrabbits, really. But it's just that it's not just us humans that are being affected. This is a systemic issue. And it changes my perception of the world out there, you know?
Yeah, and it's really important if you are in an area where there are ticks that you make sure that if you go out hiking and you're with your dog, that you are checking your dog, you know, when you get back to the car, doing a full tick check. I carry a tick remover in my car at all times, and, you know, they love dogs, especially because they jump. And so, you know, my own dog has been bitten a couple of times. I don't think it's my fate to have a dog with Lyme disease as well as me, but you know, it is something that you have to be aware of.
Yeah,
locally.
Magnolia has a lot of hair.
She does. And we went hiking once in Santa Cruz, and she came back with 8 ticks. And I just had to, I mean, it was probably one of the scariest experiences for me, just having to pull them out. And, she's been, you know, embedded in with ticks. And, yeah, you just really, you know, they'll bring them into the house.
Yes.
So you, and especially if they're sleeping on the bed, you just want to make sure that, you know, I mean, at my parents' house, she's brought ticks in just from being outside, and that's in, you know, not a rural environment.
Right.
In a community. So.
Right. Now, when I did my Tom Brown Jr. Wilderness Survival Week, the first thing they told us about was the hazards, of course, and ticks were on the list. And I'll never forget, one of the instructors was a young woman by the name of Ruth. And she said when she was, I guess this was many years prior, first encountering ticks, she really got curious about them, which I think is a really good perception, you know, to enter into the world of hazards, is to be curious. Don't be afraid. Be curious. And so she found a tick on her pants one day after hiking, and then she came in, took it off, and she wanted to do an experiment. So she got some Scotch tape, and she put it on the Scotch tape, and she taped it on the handle of her rotary phone. You remember those old kind of phones?
Oh, I love those.
That had a handle you put up to your head? She left it there a year. A year.
No way.
She took it off, and it was still alive. They can go dormant. They don't have to eat like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
They can go dormant. They are really, really interesting little beasts.
Yeah, they're very resilient.
We have a book in the store in our environmental section. That's Pilgrim's Way Bookstore, all about ticks. And I really encourage people, like I say, rather than to be afraid, is to get curious. And it's life in another form.
Well, and I just want to share that if you do have a tick that you are bit with, that you can send it to the lab and have it tested. It's about $60. The tick does not have to be alive. You put it on a cotton ball and you ship it over, and you can call my office and find out where.
Get the instructions.
And I highly recommend that even if you don't have the, you know, the classic target lesion, which just looks like literally an archery target with rings, which is, they think only about 60% of cases have that, of actual Lyme ticks, that you still get it tested. And just be on the safe side, on the curious side, instead of, you know, not knowing.
That's right. Yeah. Don't hide in with your head in the sand. And, you know, Heather is awesome. Dr. Heather Swallow is our guest today, and she's very helpful. And I think if you haven't met the people in her office, you'll be pleasantly surprised. There's a whole collaborative there, Heather, that you've got working in unison. It's just awesome. We're going to take our second break for the hour, and I'd love for you to stay with us. We are listening to, if you like this and you haven't heard this instrument before, it's because it's a new instrument. It's called a hang drum. And the group that you're listening to is called Hang Massive. I don't get paid for that advertisement. It's just a really cool instrument. When we come back from our break with Dr. Swallow, we're going to talk to her about her vision for the future. So please stay with us for more on Simple Life. Back in studio here with Dr. Heather Swallow of Wellspring Natural Health in Monterey. If you want to give her office a call, 648-1870 is the number. They're located right on the corner of Cass Street and El Dorado, and the website is wellspringnaturalhealth.com. So, Dr. Swallow, before we get to your vision of the future, I wanted to ask your perspective on the connection between the natural world and how that relates to our health.
I love that question. First of all, thank you for asking it. I think one of the things that is so important is to return to the simplicity of life. And that's one of the challenges that I have found in my own healing process. You know, is just getting rid of the drama, getting rid of people in your life that aren't serving you, getting rid of the things in your life that aren't serving you, the thought patterns, the, you know, everything. It's, you know, having a chronic debilitating disease has really changed my life, to be honest. And so one of the things that I have found in my healing process is the simplicity. And I'm so blessed to live, you know, we have such a really epic location here.
Totally.
On the peninsula. And we're so blessed to be, you know, immersed in the natural world here. But one of the things that I've really found in my own healing, and I feel like it's been part of my saving grace, is going out and being in nature and taking off my shoes and getting the earthing energy and the earthing healing. There's a great book called Earthing.
We have it.
at the store. So great. And the story behind it is phenomenal if you research it, with Dr. Sinatra and his own son, and how he found that information of the earthing, that really the earth energy can heal us. And so, you know, I feel really blessed that I have a dog that forces me to get outside even
Take
when I
for a walk
don't feel good. And she is a swimmer and she loves the beach. And
wow.
So I spend a lot of time with her, and, you know, I really try to, if it's warm enough, to take off my shoes mm-hmm. and dig my feet in the sand. And if I can, go into the salt water, because the salt water is so cleansing. We know that it removes negative energy from the body, just like taking an Epsom salt bath.
That's so awesome.
So I really feel like, you know, I always tell people, you know, with patients and exercise, you know, I always ask them, well, what do you do for exercise? And, you know, people tell me, oh, well, I do this and this and this. And I said, well, do you ever go outside and just go for a walk? Or go for a hike, or, you know, go to the beach and just walk along the beach and just breathe in that air. You know, there's just such a different feeling of going to a gym and getting on
wow,
a treadmill
totally.
Versus, you know, going outside and hiking hills, or being even just in your neighborhood. You know, it can be so simple, and it's just a different, it changes things. And so for me, I'm a naturopath, so I believe in the healing power of nature. And I think that that comes in a variety of different forms, but
yeah,
go outside, take your shoes off.
Everybody can afford 10 minutes.
Well, and the thing about being outside that I love is that it's free.
That's so true.
You don't have to pay for a gym membership.
Well, and one of the things I enjoy about getting, I'm a morning person, and I love to get up in the morning, literally with the chickens, sometimes before the chickens, and watch the morning happen. There's a dawn chorus. The birds, I imagine, are so grateful to have lived through the night, because they really are at risk every night of their life. And no one gives them anything to eat. They have to find it and get it for themselves. And just contemplating how they appreciate their life kind of reminds me how lucky we are. I mean, they have any number of predators constantly. And we live in a beautiful place. We have a lot of privilege and support, and I don't know, we're fairly safe and happy in our little world. And the wind, you know, how it moves the trees right now where I live, the cottonwood is looking like snow as it falls from the cottonwood tree across the street.
Yeah, one of the things that I did, you know, with having chronic Lyme and being in a healing process, is I've, you know, had to spend a lot of time resting and a lot of my downtime in bed. And about 6 weeks ago, I couldn't sleep, and I got up and I went to lay on the couch because I couldn't fall back asleep. And all of a sudden, I started to see the light just creep into the room, and I felt so drawn to the light, and I'm never up at sunrise. I'm not a morning person, and, you know, I'm so used to staying in bed and just really utilizing that time to rest. And so I went outside, and I just sat on my patio, and I made a commitment to watch the sunrise for the next 30 days.
Wow.
And in that process, I did a variety of different things. I started meditating. I did yoga, started to reincorporate movement in. And, you know, I wasn't perfect. It didn't happen every single day for the 30 days, but it happened the majority of the time. And I'll tell you that it really changed so much for me. Was just the ability to go outside and watch the sunrise and watch the birds and just listen and have this sense of stillness. And it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was really, I really feel like that commitment that I made to myself for that 30 days started shape-shifting my own healing process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, I always wish that I had more connection with some of my ancestors. And sometimes when I'm outdoors in those quiet moments, I think to myself, this is the one thing that hasn't really changed in the last however long. I mean, my ancestors sat and watched probably these same types of birds, and they probably watched the sunrise. And so I feel like there's a real connection and a real sort of doorway of relatedness that I have. So I'm a big nature person. People who listen to this show know that. I'm glad you are too.
I love it.
So now, before we run out of time, Heather, is there anything that you want people to know about yourself that you haven't shared already, or maybe things that you really want to get across about health and healing?
Well, I just want to encourage people to not settle for the way their life is if they want it to be different, and to really welcome in change and welcome in growth, and to make a commitment to yourself that in whatever way, shape, or form, and whoever helps guide you along the way, whether that be your physician or your friend or a mentor or a therapist, that you just get that help that you need. You know, I find so many people come in and they say things like, oh, well, I'm 60, I should be tired. And I say, no, you're 60 and you should be thriving.
That's right.
You know, why is there this connection that just because you're going through the aging process that life has to get worse, or maybe that your health has to decline?
Yeah, I know a lot of doctors that actually say that. You know, when you go to a doctor and they look at your age and they say, well, it's okay, you're getting older now, so you should be slowing down.
Yeah, and that absolutely drives me crazy.
I'm so glad.
And it makes me so mad. Yeah. I mean, you know, I always say to people that, you know, you have to be in the driver's seat. You know, I can help guide you along, but just never take no, or that this is, you know, patients come to me and they say, well, this is just the way that it is. And I say, no, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, why is it this way? You know, what is it that you're doing that's making it this way? Mm. Or why are you accepting that this is the answer? And really to just push yourself to expand and open and not be attached to an outcome, yet to be flexible and to enjoy the journey, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel like so many people just give up hope. And I can say that with having a chronic disease, you know, one of the things that, even though I feel like I've really been close to death in some of the experiences that I've had in my treatment process, I've never given up hope. Mm. And so if I can instill that one thing into people and really just, you know, I always say there's no judgment. You know, you are where you're at, and I'm not going to judge you, but you have to not judge you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And that's
so,
the key.
You know, let go of the judgment and let go of and have that forgiveness and that self-love and know that you're worthy and know that you're enough,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then don't accept no for an answer, you
there
know?
There you go. Don't give up. So, Heather, I want to know what you envision for the future.
Well, I really envision kind of the principles of naturopathic medicine coming through for all people's healing process, which is, you know, really letting, you know, heal thyself and letting nature, we call it the nature cure. It's one of our philosophies. And really that people start to come together instead of the separation that I see, and that people feel like they can heal their hearts and that they're enough and that their life can just keep getting better and better. And, you know, from a health perspective, I really just see and envision and really have hope for us healing the Mother Nature. You know, we have a responsibility and obligation to stop damaging the world, the earth. And, you know, you can do that so simply by not littering and by picking up trash and not drinking out of plastic bottles and
not using Roundup.
And all of these things are not so difficult if you really tap into how easy it is to just change a couple of things. I just had a huge conversation on Facebook about just changing from plastic containers to reusable glass ones.
Hallelujah.
And it's not hard to do that.
No, it's just a habit to change. So since our show is co-sponsored by Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden in downtown Carmel, and we are Monterey County Weekly Reader's most favorite bookstore in Monterey County, I want to know, what is your all-time favorite book?
Well, I don't really have one.
Oh.
Because I am such an avid reader, and I've read thousands of books. But I will say that the book that I'm reading right now is really revolutionary and has been life-changing. And it's called Mind Over Medicine, and it's by Lissa Rankin. She's an MD who is very naturopathic in her thinking. And it's really all about how the mind, if you change the way that you think, you can pretty much heal anything. And it's all about spontaneous healing and studies that show that it is possible.
Dr. Heather Swallow, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm so grateful that you share yourself so generously.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I want to tell you a couple of things before we run completely out of time. Monterey Bay Tracking Club, as you know, is one of my favorite things to do, and we are having a group meet April 6th. We meet the first Sunday of every month, and we will be meeting at the Ord Market in Marina. If you need any information on that, you can either check our website at pilgrimsway.com and click on events, or you can check the Facebook page for Monterey Bay Tracking Club. There's lots of photos and details there for you. We have some in the bookstore author meet and greets coming up. Saturday, April 5th, there's a meet and greet with Claire Fullerton, author of A Portal in Time. It's a novel. And then on April 12th, there is another meet and greet with Christian McEwen, author of World Enough and Time on Creativity and Slowing Down. And a big event coming up in April on the 18th, all things Steinbeck, including a performance and music. So check out our site for that. Thanks so much for being with me on Simple Life Radio. Until I'm with you again next week, keep it simple. Oh,